Here's BQ.
Today is kind of an inspirational day. Even though we've got a guest that can pretty much talk about anything, we have a brand new friend of the show, John Sutz. And let me just tell you a little bit about him, because he is the editor of SaveTheWest.com. And we're going to talk about, obviously, the caravans that are traveling from all the way from Honduras and to through Salvador, gone to Mexico City. They're now heading towards the border of Texas first, I think, probably around McAllen and Matamoros. They're the closest. And already Tijuana and the California border is receiving folks coming across. But I wanted to, before, as we get to know John, you like to get to know the people that are coming on the show. And John, I saw that you wrote this great book called Saved by Shayna, Life Lessons from a Miracle Dog. And this is what happened to you after 9/11. Can we just kind of hear about that a little bit? Because people need a little inspiration right now with what's happened in California after the elections. And we have to have a little warm fuzzy to move people, to inspire them, because I think people are a bit down.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for the segue into my book. I wasn't really expecting that, but it's a pleasant surprise. I'd never had a dog, and I've had friends who had dogs, and I knew that they could be friendly and fun and that. And after 9/11 unleashed a bunch of memories, of more complete memories of some really rough stuff that happened to me as a little kid. I just went into kind of a tailspin, and I decided to move to Charlottesville, which is the only place I ever really felt at home that I could possibly heal, and to take 6 months off my life and look for my first dog. And most of all, I was looking for a connection, but as a graphic designer, I sort of had a vision of the kind of dog I thought I was looking for, which is a brightly colored male German Shepherd, yellow lab, golden retriever mix, something like that. And I gave it 90 days, and I searched most days of the week, and I came close a couple of times, and a little voice in the back of my head just said, "Your dog is coming. You just got to wait." And on the very last day of my search, they told me that they got in a couple of puppies, but they're not what I'm looking for. And they said they're all black and they're twin sisters. And that little voice spoke to me and just said, "Just go take a look." And I did. And from the moment I met my little angel, 12 weeks old, there was this connection. And I'd never been a father. I don't know anything about being responsible for another living creature. And it was a little rough at first, learning to, you know, be the pack leader. And but once I did, we discovered we each have some trouble in our background, some very deep emotional difficulties. But through the love that we developed, we ended up healing each other. And she decided that her mission in life was to become the world's smartest super dog. And by the end of her life, 12 years later, she had memorized the names of 57 toys, and she could go get them and put them away by name in a box or a bowl, and stack them by name on a pole, her ring toys, and dump them in a basket. She had learned to read flashcards with pictures of her toys on them. She'd learned to count one and two. She was learning to play the shell game.
Wow.
And we ended up healing each other. And there's probably about 200 videos of her online. So
I have to say that, you know, before we got you on the show, because Mike, you can join into this. Mike has a brand new dog called George. My son has a wonderful little sweet Boston Terrier named Josephine. And I think that people don't understand, dogs are so sensitive, and they really, if they love you, it's like a really beautiful bond. And Mike, you love George like that, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's hard for me not to view him like a little baby.
It really is. And he's a puppy right now. So you've got lots of years. Yeah. So he's got years. But we wanted to share that. And John, I'm so happy that you talked about it, because right now we are, you know, all watching what happened earlier today in California, and that Marine that came back when they're alleging that it's possible that he had PTSD. He was 28 years old. He was a good looking young man. And a sergeant, you know, goes in to help people. I think it was 13 people died, including the sheriff. And it was such a tragedy. But I hear time and time again from people that have gone through terrible stress or ill health that the dog is like so sensitive that it's kind of like, I bet your dog Shayna knew when you didn't feel well.
Well, she did. And we were each other's sort of kind of 911. And it's funny you mentioned that, because I was just talking with a friend about this the other day. When was the first time that I realized that this was not what I was expecting? About 2 weeks in, she had been rescued with her twin sister from 3 days in a storm drain when they were 11 weeks old without their parents. So she had a terrible fear of water, and she was having nightmares. When I first got her, I'd wake up in the middle of the night, and I'd be hearing this screaming. And I'm a bachelor, so I don't know what the hell it is. So I went and got her, and I just did what I thought any person would do. I put her on my shoulder and just kind of started rocking her. And I happened to walk past a mirror, and I looked at myself, and I was like, oh, my God, who is that in the mirror? Because he looks like a dad. But it was me. And I was ready to bring her back because I just didn't think I'm capable of doing this. I don't know anything about being a parent. But it turned out that she was, although they wrote her as a lab mix, leaving the SPCA at 12 weeks old, it turned out that later she developed some behavioral problems, and they sent me to a veterinary behaviorist who diagnosed her as being a mix of a border collie and a husky. And I'd sort of heard of a husky before, but I'd never heard of a border collie. And once I started to learn about the not just the emotional needs, but the intellectual needs of a border collie, I had no idea. I'd never heard of them. So that,
you don't think about it, John. You don't think that they have intellectual needs. If you're people like me and others that I know that really haven't been raised with dogs, we don't know those things.
Well, she needs a job to do. And that was the thing that once I learned about border collies, I realized that they're like the brainiacs of the dog kingdom. And I realized our time is not infinite. So I'll just fast forward.
Well, that's okay. Don't worry.
Her loving them.
You can talk about, we've got another segment after this, and I just think that it's so important right now, John. But John, you know, those things are all precious in that relationship with the dog. I was telling Mike before that you came on that my son's little dog, Josephine, which is, you know, a little Boston Terrier, he's got a little son, and the little dog and my grandson, I mean, he'll hug her almost all night long, and that dog doesn't care. She protects that little boy and loves him. So anyway, getting back to you and your wonderful dog.
Well, there's actually an intersection between what happened last night and today. There's a wonderful organization in Northern Florida called Canines for Warriors, and they train service dogs and emotional support dogs for returning service members and police officers with PTSD. So the URL there is K9S, and then 4, spelled out F-O-R, warriors.org. And it's a wonderful organization, and it's the industrialization of my experience, which is the mutual healing, the mutual support and love and that can happen when that kind of a match is made.
And how do you, now she's moved on. And, you know, unfortunately, we wish our little animals would stay alive forever. So how did you cope with it? What did you do afterwards? Did you get another dog?
The worst day of my life. No,
I bet.
The worst day of my life. I don't think I'll ever be able to have another one. So I've been putting my efforts, in addition to my activism and my professional work, I created heatkill.org, which is dedicated to helping to prevent dogs from suffering in hot cars.
Oh, that's
a terrible
great
problem, and in many cases, it's the authorities themselves that are either misinformed or uninformed, and that then trickles down into the general public, and people leave dogs in cars, and they don't understand that dogs are covered in sweat, and they're covered in fur, and they don't sweat. So it feels like a relatively cool day to us. Leave a dog in a car for 10 minutes, and within 10 minutes, the interior temperature of the car, even with the windows partially cracked, rises 19 degrees, and within 20 minutes, it rises 29 degrees.
Well, we're going to take a little...
And set in very quickly.
We're going to take a little break. I mean, honestly, I know we got off the topic that we were going to talk about, but John Setz, you're such a cool guy. Editor of SaveTheWest.com, we've got more to talk about when we come back. We're actually going to get on topic, but stay with us here in The Hard Question. I'm Blanquita Cullum, and listen to us on SoundCloud, also on WCGO, 1590 WCGO.com.